yes, no, maybe, ready? Okay, I apologize that we're moving fast. We have a lot to accomplish in a short amount of time. But hopefully we'll still be able to make it meaningful. If you take a look in the source sheet, we're looking at a couple of psukim here. I'm not going to go through them inside, but you can see in the psukim, you can see in the psukim that we are dealing with the halachos of Arla, Netaravai, the fifth year, and not eating the blood from an animal. Explain what each one of these things mean. The first thing is, if a farmer grows fruits, for the first 3 years, there's a halacha called Arla, and you're not allowed to eat those fruits. Everyone familiar with this? The first 3 years, that's called Arla. In the fourth year, there's a halacha called Netaravai, which is we take the first fruits from that fourth year, and where do we eat those fruits? In Yerushalayim. In the fifth year, the farmer can eat the fruits at home. Okay? So, first 3 years, you're not allowed to eat the fruit. In the fourth year, we eat the fruit, but where do we eat it? In Yerushalayim. In the fifth year, the farmer can eat the fruits at home. Okay? And finally, we'll see in a moment, there's a halacha that you're not allowed to eat meat before all the blood is drained from the animal. And the questions that we're going to be dealing with today are basically one fundamental question and then one ancillary question. What is the inner meaning behind this halacha of Arla? Why is it that you're not allowed to eat fruits from the first 3 years? Why do you have to wait until the fourth year and eat those fruits in the Beis HaMikdash, or the Mishkan, or Beis HaMikdash, and then ultimately in the fifth year you can eat them at home? And tangentially, does this have anything to do with the halacha of draining all the blood from an animal? Since they're right next to each other, we would assume that there is some reason for this juxtaposition. Okay, so we're dealing with number one, what's the inner meaning behind Arla? Why can't we eat fruit for the first 3 years? So you'll see on the source sheet over here, you're not going to look at it inside. I have it in the English and the Hebrew for you. You can take a look at it later. The Ramban brings down two reasons for why we don't eat fruit for the first 3 years. He brings his own reason, and then he brings the reason of the Rambam brought in the Mor Nevuchim, in the Guide for the Perplexed. First we'll go out of order, even though the Ramban gave his reason first, we'll do the Rambam's reason. The Rambam says that it used to be, it's very interesting, it used to be in ancient times, it was common for sorcerers and priests to come and bless new trees. And then, because they would bless them because they wanted to get good fruit out of them, and then they would take the fruit and they would bring it to their pagan gods as an expression of thanks for the bountiful crop. So the Rambam, like he does in many places, the Rambam says, the reason why the Torah said specifically we can't eat fruit from the first 3 years is because that's exactly what the Balei Avodah Zarah did. So whenever the Balei Avodah Zarah do something, we go the exact opposite way. Okay? So since the Balei Avodah Zarah, their first fruits, were given over to the pagan gods, we specifically don't eat fruits because their fruits were given over to the pagan gods for the first 3 years. That's the Rambam's reason. Okay? Know it, file it away. It's not what we're going to be discussing at length, but it's important to know. The Ramban gives a different reason. The Ramban says, in order to understand the reason for Arla, you have to look at it in the context of Netaravai, the fourth year. Remember, in the fourth year, where do we eat the fruits?
In Yerushalayim.
In Yerushalayim. So the Ramban says as follows. For the first 3 years, the fruits aren't really so good. They're generally too small, he says, and therefore they don't give off good flavor. And he says sometimes the moisture from the tree attaches itself to the fruit in the beginning when it's still young, and the fruits themselves don't taste good. So we want to bring the first fruits should be your best fruits. When will that be? In the fourth year. So the Ramban says the reason why we make the first 3 years usher is so that the fourth year will be, quote-unquote, the first fruits, And then in the fourth year, we'll bring those fruits to the Beis HaMikdash.
Who's saying this?
The Rambam. So there's the Rambam and the Rambam. Maimonides and Nachmanides. Yeah.
Oh, this is Rambam.
The Rambam, no, this is the Rambam. The Rambam was the first reason. Maimonides was the first reason. He says it's because of sorcerers and priests and pagan idolatry. The Ramban says it's because we want our best fruits to be in the fourth year, so those will be our first fruits, and we'll eat those in Yerushalayim. Those answers, while very beautiful, are not going to be the answers that we're going to be discussing today. The answer we're going to be discussing today is from the Medrash. Take a look in your source sheet if you have it. The Medrash here is quoted from Bamidbar Rabbah. Okay, this is a Medrash in Bamidbar, not a Medrash over in Vayikra, but a Medrash in Bamidbar says as follows. Bamidbar Rabbah, Yud Aleph. Okay, see on the top, Bamidbar Rabbah, Yud Aleph. It says, Kedeshot Nedroshos Me'achareyem, Shalosh Shonim Yilachem Arelim Lo Yeachel, Maksiv Basrei Lo Sochlu Al Adam. So the Medrash is asking the question that we asked beforehand. We seem to have two separate topics here. Topic number one, don't eat fruits the first 3 years. Topic number two, don't eat the blood from an animal. Drain all of the blood from the animal first. The Medrash says, what's one got to do with the other? Why is the Torah putting them together? Listen to the words of the Medrash. V'chimayin in zeh lezeh, what does one have to do with the other? Ela amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. La'arla atmamtin shalosh shanim. Ulish ishtacha einatam at mamtin achimu teres medidasa. La arla at mamtin shaloshanim. Ulbehem techa einat mamtin achetimatse damea. The Medrash says a fascinating answer. You know what arla comes to teach you? Patience. Patience. There's a time when you eat your fruit, there's a time when you don't. You wait 3 years, and what does that teach you? It teaches you patience. Therefore, when you're married, you'll only be with your spouse when it's an appropriate time. You don't eat from the meat until all the blood is drained out of the meat. You wait 3 years, what does it teach you? Patience. Now, it's a nice musar schmooze, but I imagine that you girls know by now that that's not what we're going to spend the night talking about. That would not be an exciting Thursday night class on sharpness. The value of patience, while very meaningful, I don't think that's necessarily what we're going to spend our time talking about. So we have to ask ourselves now that we know that there's this inyan of patience, we have to ask ourselves, is there something deeper here? Is there a deeper reason why we're being taught, specifically here when it comes to the halachos of the trees, patience? You hear the question? In other words, patience we could learn from anything. Specifically when it comes to the trees giving off fruit, what does the Torah tell us? The trees give off fruit to teach you to be patient. What? Why is that the area where the Torah teaches us patience? Listen to this. It is unbelievable. I'm so excited to teach you this piece of Torah. It's such a special piece of Torah. There's a question. It's a very well-known question. Take a look at the Pasuk in Bereishis, chapter 1, verse 29. In Bereishis. Adam Rishon is told, Vayomer Elokim, Hine nasati lechem es kol esav zorea zera asher al pnei kol aretz, ves kol es asher bo priyitz zorea zera lechem yel achla. What does Hashem tell Adam? He's allowed to eat from what? From any tree in the entire Gan Eden. He's allowed to eat from any tree. Is that a problem? You girls don't have a problem with that? What's the problem with that? Because if you take a look in chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, what does Hashem say? He says, "Umei eitz hadas tovara lo tochol mimenu, ki biyom achol mimenu mos tamus." You're not allowed to eat from the eitz hadas. So in chapter 1 of Bereishis, what does Hashem say to Adam Rishon? You can eat from
any tree.
In chapter 2, what does he say? Except for the Eitz Hadas. One second. I thought you told me... Can you do me a favor? Can we close the window? It's pretty loud. I thought you told me that I am allowed to eat from any tree. And now you're coming later and telling me that I'm not allowed to eat? You hear the contradiction? This contradiction is spoken about by the Aruch Haim HaKadosh. It's a very small Aruch Haim. I cut it down so you'll just have the one line. It's a stunning Aruch Haim. This Aruch Haim you have to know for the rest of your life. He says, Yomer da'afilu etzadas bechlal. Really, the reason why Hashem says that you can eat from every single tree is because Hashem meant it. Really, Adam Rishon was able to eat from every single tree. How could you say that? We know that in chapter 2 it tells us that he's not allowed to eat from the Eitz Hadas. Listen to what he says. He says, V'agam shematzinu shemitzdava alav, and even though we find out later that Adam Rishon is not allowed to eat from the Eitz Hadas, kvar amru zechreinim lavracha, our sages already said, she'im hayu mamten ad erev Shabbos, hayu mekadesh alayayim. If Adam Rishon would have waited patiently until Shabbos, he would have been allowed to eat from the Eitz Hadas. That's what the Medrash says. Girls, I want to make sure you connect the dots. In the very beginning, in chapter 1, what does it tell? What does God tell Adam Rishon? You can eat from
any tree.
What does that include?
Eitz Hadas.
Aye, but in chapter 2 he says you're not allowed to eat from the Eitz Hadas. That is a temporary condition. You're only not allowed to eat from the Eitz Hadas as long as it's what? Friday. But come Shabbos, you're going to be allowed to eat from the Eitz Hadas. And not only that, girls, you know there's many different shitas. What was the Eitz Hadas? One thing it's for sure not is an apple tree. That's a Christian idea. There are many different things discussed in Chazal, what type of tree it was. But you know, one possibility is that it was a grapevine. And here, the Aruch Haim, quoting the Medrash, says, what would they have done? They would have made kiddush. Meaning he would have sanctified Shabbos itself from what? From the very grapes that he squeezed from the Eitz Hadas. This is a mind-blowing, radical new way of understanding the Eitz Hadas. When you were growing up, what were you told? Adam Rishon could eat from any tree except for the Eitz Hadas. Now what are we being told? Adam Rishon could eat from every tree including the Eitz Hadas. In fact, had he waited, he would have made kiddush on Shabbos from the vine, from the grapes that were on the Eitz Hadas. Wild. Wild, wild concept. So far, so good. So what midah was Adam Rishon lacking in?
Patience.
Lacking in patience. Now all of a sudden, girls, you should start to see things starting to click. Because a moment ago we asked the following question. Why do we learn the midah of patience when it comes to trees giving off fruit? Now what do we know? What's it really connected to? It's really connected to the Eitz Hadas. It's really connected to a different tree giving off fruit. Since Adam Rishon wasn't patient with that tree, we counterbalance that and we're patient with our trees waiting 3 years. Is there any reason that we have to wait specifically 3 years? Take a look. I wrote it for you out here in the footnotes. In the notes. The Talmidei HaArizal say, there's 12 hours in a day, girls. What hour was Adam Rishon told, you shall not eat from the Eitz Hadas? He was told in the ninth hour. Which means, when was Shabbos? In the 12th hour. Which means, how many hours did Adam Rishon need to wait?
Three hours.
So the reason, the Talmidei HaArizal say, the reason why we have to wait 3 years to eat those fruits is connected to the 3 hours that Adam Rishon wasn't patient to make kiddush on Shabbos. Girls, you know, every single thing in the Torah has layers and layers and layers of depth to it. I remember when I first learned the halachas of Arla and Neter Avai, I remember being bored. You're not allowed to eat for the first 3 years, then you could, in your Shalayim, you could eat the fourth year, and then the fifth year you could eat at home. Once you start to learn the depth of Torah, Torah becomes exceptionally inspiring because you realize it's not just on a surface level. There's very deep things here. All of the halachos are connected to each other. So there's a halacha that we wait 3 years to eat the fruit because we have to counteract another three, which was the 3 hours that Adam Rishon didn't wait to make Kiddush on Shabbos with the grapes from the Eitz Hadas. Instead, he ate them early. And in fact, if you take a look in the Medrash says this beferish. Darish Rav Yehuda ben Pedaya, mi yegale afar me'inecha, Adam Arishon, I'm sorry, who will remove the dust from your eyes, right? Meaning, who's gonna rectify the sin of Adam Arishon? Look what it says, literally what we're saying. Shalo yachalta lama betziva afilu sha'achas. Adam Arishon, once he was told right away, don't eat from the Eitz Hadas, what did he do right away? He ate from the Eitz Hadas. He couldn't even wait a little bit. But don't worry, the children will wait 3 years to rectify the sin of Adam Arishon. So girls, pretty good. Pretty good. Now we understand some deep things here. Now we understand that Adam Arishon was in fact able to eat from any of the trees in the field. He had to wait until Shabbos. As soon as he was told it's Usser, what did he do right away? He ate from it. He didn't wait the 3 hours. What questions do we have left? Two questions. Two very important questions. What questions? You guys can think of this on your own.
What about the meat?
What was that?
The meat.
Well, the meat was the same concept. The meat was draining the blood. Patience. You have to learn to be patient to drain the blood, right? That's why we wait 3 years. You'll surely be patient.
Yeah, but it doesn't have a deeper meaning.
What was that?
It doesn't have a deeper meaning.
It does, but we're not going to do it for now. Oh, but that's okay. That's a good point. But just within the framework of the Adam Arishon story, anything bother you? Yeah?
Why could he eat it on Shabbos?
Oh, very good. That's my second question. What's the other one?
Oh, and then why did Mishnah like tell him he could eat it on Shabbos? Or did he?
He did.
He did say he could eat it on Shabbos.
He said, don't eat it now. You could eat it on Shabbos. But your first question was excellent, and that's something I want to harp on. The first question, which was a beautiful question, is why are you allowed to eat it on Shabbos? Is the Eitz Hadas good or bad? If it's bad, you can't eat it at all. If it's good, you should be able to eat it right away. Sounds like it's bad for now, it's good in a minute. And once you can eat it, by the way, once you can eat it on Shabbos, then you can eat it forever. It was only usher for 3 hours. It's wild. What is it about Shabbos that all of a sudden the Eitz Hadas becomes permissible? That's question number one. There's an obvious question. I'm shocked you girls aren't asking it.
Why was he so impatient? Yeah.
Why was he so impatient? Very good. Why was he so impatient? This is Adam Arishon we're talking about. The Adam Arishon is so impatient. You know, it's like, girls, I hate to say it like this, but Adam Arishon is not, he's not us. He doesn't have oppositional defiant disorder. It means that anytime somebody tells you to do something, you automatically do the opposite. God says you can't eat from it, he takes from it right away. Chas v'shalom, that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about a very deep thing. So listen to what the Chassam Sofer says, an unbelievable Chassam Sofer. And we'll finish with this. We know, well, you girls have Rav Gav coming in a minute. You girls know that the Nachash told Chava, on the day that you eat from the Eitz Hadas, your eyes will be opened, and you'll know Tov V'ra. You'll know the difference between good and evil. Which means what? Which means until Adam Arishon ate from the Eitz Hadas, did he have a Yetzirah?
No.
So in a certain way, if he doesn't have a Yetzirah, is he actually serving God?
No.
It's an interesting question to think about. It's an interesting question to think about, but perhaps we can suggest as follows. This is what the Chassam Sofer says. It's a very deep idea. I hope you're all with me. It's not impressive to do the right thing when you have no choice. It's impressive to do the right thing when you have something pulling you to do the wrong thing. It's like kaviyachol. In Judaism, there's something called divorce. It's not impressive to stay married if you're in a religion that doesn't allow you to get divorced. It's impressive to stay married when you have the opportunity for divorce, but you say, no, I want to stay and work on this. Free choice is an amazing thing because it's what allows you to participate in the relationship. Adam Arishon is sitting there looking at the Eitz Hadas, and he says, Hashem says, you can eat from it on Shabbos. You can't eat from it yet. Adam Arishon goes, what's in it? The Nachash says, on the day you eat from that, you'll have free choice. Adam Arishon says, sign me up. I want to serve Hashem. I don't want to wait 3 hours to serve Hashem. I want every single moment of my life to be meaningful. And unless I have choice, my life is not meaningful. You hear? You hear what Adam Rishon is thinking? So where was his mistake? That sounds pretty good to me. Except he made one mistake. If we're serving someone, on whose terms do we serve?
Hashem.
We have to serve the other. You know, sometimes husbands want to be good husbands, not because they love their wives, but just because they want to be good husbands. You know what I mean by that? There's a Rav whose name is Rav Manas Friedman. Have you girls ever heard of Rav Manas Friedman? So he wrote a very famous book called Why Doesn't Anyone Blush Anymore? The original title of that book, Rabbi Friedman says, was Shut Up, I Love You. If you'll just shut up, I'll love you. But that's not a relationship. In a relationship, you don't say, shut up, let me love you. In a relationship, you say, what do you need from me? See, sometimes we're so creative that we're serving Hashem, not because of Hashem, but because of our own creativity. It's like, imagine if your creativity was stifled. Imagine how hard that is. Right? If you're a dancer and you can't dance, if you're a singer and you can't sing, it's so hard. Because human beings are naturally exceptionally creative. So Adam Rishon has all this creativity. He says, let me at him. I want to serve you with my creativity. Hashem says, are you serving me or are you serving yourself? Is it your need to be creative? Or is it about me? Is it about serving the other? So Hashem says to Adam Rishon, here's the deal. If you'll wait until Shabbos, then you can eat from the Eitz Hadas. Why? Girls, what's Asr on Shabbos? What's Asr on Shabbos?
Malacha.
Malacha is Asr on Shabbos. Which Malachos?
The
39. The 39 Malachos that we did to build the Mishkan, right? These are called the 39 creative activities. On Shabbos, what are you not allowed to do? You're not allowed to be creative. Shabbos means, Hashem, during the week, I serve you. But I'm going to prove to you that during the week, it's not about me. It's not about my own ego. It's not about my own creativity. Because on Shabbos, I'll serve you by doing nothing. I'll serve you without creativity. So Hashem says to Adam Rishon, I'm going to give you the gift of free choice. You'll have the gift of free choice, and you'll be able to serve me with your creativity. As long as what? As long as your free choice is rooted in Shabbos. The lack of creativity. Because then you'll really be serving me. It's like if you're buying your husband a gift, and you buy the thing that you want, that's your gift. And you might have put all your creativity into it. Imagine you have a girl who's an artist. And she says, what I would want more than anything is for my husband to paint me a gorgeous picture. So you spend weeks and months painting this exceptional painting with all of your creativity for your husband. There's only one problem. Your husband wanted tickets to the Knicks game. Your husband didn't want your picture. Who were you serving with your creativity? You were serving yourself. In order to know if you're actually participating in the relationship, the question is, can you be with that person without being creative? Can you give yourself over to them where you're not expressing your creativity? Because creativity is at the essence of all things. So this was the mistake. Adam Rishon says, there's an opportunity for free choice, there's an opportunity for strength, there's an opportunity for creativity, sign me up, I'm doing it right away. What does Hashem say? Then you're serving yourself, you're not serving me. If you would wait, then you could use free choice to be Mekadesh the Shabbos. You could use free choice to drink in Shabbos. You could merge your creativity with the absence of creativity. You could merge your creativity with humility. And then we would have been in the perfect relationship. But Adam Rishon was impatient because all he wanted to do was serve Hashem. For who?
Himself.
For himself. So now we have to rectify the sin of Adam Rishon. So what do? How do we rectify the sin of Adam Rishon? You're a farmer. Girls, you know how much creativity is involved in being a farmer? You prepared the ground. You dropped the seeds. You covered them up. You watered them. You did everything. You took care of them. You protected them from the winds, from the rains. And these beautiful fruit trees started to grow. And you wanted to jump to grab them, right? Ah, that's my fruit. That's my creativity. What does Hashem say to us? No, you have to rectify the sin of Adam Rishon. Who are you serving? So what do? We wait. A second year comes. New fruit trees. You can see the apples are getting bigger. They're getting more delicious. What do again? We wait. Then a third year. We wait again. And finally, when the fruits are at their ripest and they're delicious, and this is the big fourth year, where do we take our fruits? To Yerushalayim. We say, all of my creativity, Hashem, it belongs to you. And girls, this is why, not everybody has this minig, but this is why some people have a minig to have an upshare, a chalaka. You know what it means? It means that we let our son's hair grow long, and then when they turn 3 years old, we give them a haircut. Why do we wait? Why do we wait 3 years? First of all, sometimes it doesn't look so good. Other times it looks amazing. You ever see those beautiful little kids with their long, like, beautiful hair, and then they have that chalaka, and all of a sudden they look like big boys, you know, like all of a sudden they're like walking around, they're like so proud of themselves. Why do we wait those 3 years? Because what's the first message that we teach a little child? How are we mechanech our children? We're mechanech our children to have patience. Why is patience so important? I should give a shmooze on patience on a Thursday night? Chas v'shalom. We're not just talking about patience. We're talking about the patience to serve another on their terms, not to be arrogant and egocentric, and to serve on our terms. That's what patience is about. Patience is about being able to submit to something else. And that's no easy thing to do, because human beings are so creative that we're chomping at the bit. We just want to go, we want to do, we want to be, we're creative, right? But sometimes the avoda is to pull ourselves back, to be patient, to allow our husbands to be who they are, to allow our children to be who they are. How many parents are impatient with their children? We want to allow things to unfold of their own accord and be in service of another. Girls, have a wonderful Shabbos.
Thank you. Thank you.